Okay, so Mike, have you heard of this Beth Bezos character?
I think you mean Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, right?
No. Beth Bezos, the pseudo-anonymous leader of the effective accelerationism movement.
No, I don't believe I have heard of Beth Bezos then.
Okay, so let me set the scene for you. We all know Martin Scorsese, right? The pharma bro. We've got the Y Combinator president, Gary Tan, the Notion co-founder, Chris Prucha. They're all hanging out at an underground tech event in San Francisco. They're watching a presentation by a shirtless cartoon character with six-pack abs gleaming against a swirling galactic background. The cartoon avatar is Beth Bezos, the pseudo-anonymous co-founder of Effective Accelerationism, Silicon Valley's new electric subculture hell-bent on encouraging relentless technological growth.
Okay, this sounds like a crazy dream that I have after like a night of drinking. This is a true story, though. Are you sure?
I swear. Look, it's 2023. Things are getting weird.
All right, things are definitely weird, so we'll hear more about that event and effective accelerationism right after we roll this intro.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
And a quick word from our sponsors.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by Porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's Porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. Okay, so let's get back to that underground tech event where Martin Scorsese, Gary Tan, and Chris Prucha are spending their Sunday evening. It's September 17th. It's held in the co-living space AGI House SF, and it was Effective Accelerationism's first big in-person event since kind of the concept went viral this summer.
Okay, in this presentation, Beth Bezos, again, that's Beth Bezos, who called in remotely, he said, "You either accelerate and scale up in terms of mindset or get busy dying." He spoke to a crowd of about 50, including several dozen founders from the current YC class, plus a number of artificial intelligence researchers and tech startup employees.
Next, Gary Tan took the podium in person, unlike Bezos. And as he's giving the presentation, as the story goes, he motioned out the window to the fogless skyline of downtown. And he said, I could be here for 5 hours talking about how broken the city is, but that's why I think it's so important for us to fight here. It's so important for us to build here, because if we can build here, we're going to take over the whole country. We're going to take over every nation in the world. That's what's starting tonight here among all of you.
Okay, so effective accelerationism, what is that? And what exactly are its followers trying to build? The mostly online movement, commonly shortened to EAC by its adherents, consists of people who want to hit the gas pedal on technological innovation. They're trying to build the future as fast as humanly possible. AI doomerism be damned.
Well, EAC, it's been around the corners of Twitter on the niche side for about 2 years. Interest in the movement surged this summer. According to Google Trends, searches for the term EAC reached an all-time high in July, just weeks after OpenAI CEO Sam Altman appeared before a congressional subcommittee to urge legislators to regulate AI. Here's Beth Jazos in an interview on the Moment of Zen podcast.
So I guess I'm Beth Jazos online in the Anon Twitter sphere. Yeah, I mean, I guess the background I'm willing to share is that I used to be a theoretical physicist. I've worked in big tech and ML. And yeah, overall, ended up accidentally with Bazelord and some others, sparking a very active community online called, our ideology is called effective accelerationism. It's kind of a play on effective altruism to some extent. It is based on some ideas, and we'll get into kind of its influences, and Bayes is very well read about on this and can have a lot of comments on this. But in our case, I think it started as a just a, hanging out in Twitter spaces, creating Anon accounts, posting on Twitter. There's an account that's pretty famous in AI circles called Rune, at TSZZL, I think. Kind of the social media graph in the neighborhood of Rune is a very interesting part of Twitter, literally called this part of Twitter, or teapot, right? Essentially, this is a movement that's started within this part of Twitter, teapot, focused on techno-optimism and being optimistic about the potential of AI, and as sort of a counter movement to pervasive doomerism or pessimism and demoralization that we feel, was pervasive, especially in, when was it started? 2020.
Venture investors, including Mark Andreessen, Breanne Kimmel, Nick Davidoff, and Tan, have since put EAC in their Twitter handles or bios as a way to show their disagreement with doomerism, the belief that AI should be heavily regulated, lest the technology go rogue and cause widespread societal damage.
You mentioned Mark Andreessen, and he is an advocate for EAC. Let's actually get his take right after this quick break. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Got a clip here of him describing it a bit more.
You can express EAC as a utopian religion if you want to. When the guys who did it, you know, talk about it, they will kind of put that shade on it when they're in a good mood. But it's also a very, very straightforward, practical expression of how the world actually works. You know, for better or for worse, I actually consider it to be quite grounded. At its heart, it's a fairly straightforward defense of capitalism, of technology, of innovation, of productivity, right, of human ingenuity. So it's something that, you know, a Thomas Sowell or a Milton Friedman or a Friedrich Hayek or whatever would have said, oh yeah, that, you know, that's exactly the same thing that I'm saying.
Okay, so starting to make some sense here.
Yeah. I actually found a clip from Joseph Bock, who is an artificial intelligence researcher. He's a cognitive scientist. He's studying all kinds of crazy things like multi-agent systems. But he was actually interviewed by Lex Friedman, and I found his explanation helpful as well.
I've been at a dinner with Beth Jesus. That's the Twitter handle of one of the main thinkers behind the idea of effective accelerationism. Mm-hmm. And effective accelerationism is a tongue-in-cheek movement that is trying to put a counterposition to some of the doom peers in the AI space. By arguing that what's probably going to happen is an equilibrium between different competing AIs, in the same way as there is not a single corporation that is under a single government that is destroying and conquering everything on Earth by becoming inefficient and corrupt, there are going to be many systems that keep each other in check and force themselves to evolve.
Okay, so it's definitely a tongue-in-cheek movement, but it serves a real purpose. The counteroffense against AI guardrails has become a core tenet of EAC. That ethos is underpinned by the belief that AI progress, if not impeded by the overly cautious regulation, will serve as an equalizer in society, even if it first throws society into chaos first. Let's go back to that clip of Beth Jesus talking about why this movement matters.
Or even this fight against the universe of finding pockets of free energy to sustain and replicate oneself. And so whatever comes next is probably going to be as intelligent, if not more intelligent, that we are, and we're open to whatever comes next, but we know that that's kind of where we're going. And I think there's a sort of calm and serenity that comes with accepting whatever comes next. Because the reality is that the notion of human, the notion of anything just drifts at all times, right? Like our genetic code drifts. We're always evolving. There's nothing in nature that just stays the same. And so I think that anchoring on like the good future, quote unquote, being that we maintain the current state of humanity and maintain our local genetic neighborhood or our local neighborhood in matter configuration space forever. I don't know. I don't think that's a good future. I don't think that's anti-fragile against the stochasticity and things that could go wrong.
Several EAC followers have expressed frustration at companies like OpenAI and Google as they're lobbying Capitol Hill to actually regulate AI.
Now, for some, displaying EAC in their Twitter handle is merely a way to signal that they, like many in Silicon Valley, believe that technology will solve humanity's greatest ills. But for others, EAC is an existential battle against those who seek to slow down the pace of AI development or create moats to protect their company's competitive advantage.
Jesus, who has said publicly that he is the founder of an AI startup and has a background in physics, wrote on his Substack, "Science, technology, and intelligence still have very far to go," saying that we should seek to maintain humanity and civilization in our current state in a static equilibrium is a recipe for catastrophic failure.
More on this movement after a quick break.
Okay, so in late 2021, Jesus would jump into Twitter spaces and he was spitballing ideas about the fundamentals of life. I don't know if you remember that time, but spaces was pretty hot and there was always something live. Jesus and the creator of another anonymous account, Baselord, were inspired by a physics theory, actually, which was proposed by Jeremy England in 2013 called dissipative driven adaptation, which implies that the universe favors matter that is able to continuously and effectively grow. This was essentially the foundation of EAC.
EACers decided that this theory of the universe seemed suspiciously like capitalism. We have the most powerful information technology known to man on our side, the market.
Right. So many EAC believers think that the free market is the natural extension of physics principles, that it, like the universe, rewards rapid progress, and trying to slow that progress is often detrimental to society. The name itself is tongue-in-cheek, as we've said, and it's a play on effective altruism, which is a philosophy popularized by FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried, where we know where he ended up, which asserts that individuals should allocate their resources toward the maximum possible good. Disciples of EAC argue that the market, if unimpeded by overregulation, will regulate itself effectively.
The movement has already created its own esoteric lore, buoyed by viral memes. I mean, if you search EAC on Twitter or X, you'll stumble upon long posts worshiping the EAC sun god, a deity that personifies the EACian principles of thermodynamics. There are also countless discussions of decels, a derogatory term for decelerators, meaning people who want to slow down the progress of technology. So when an ex-user criticized Y Combinator for accepting too many startups, Tan employed the term as an insult. Gary Tan tweeted, or X'd, "This is some decel BS. The amount of human flourishing and abundance is going up by the fact that there can and will be more successful founders."
Tech leaders who have also been labeled D-cells in recent months include Vin Khosla for saying AI researchers should limit how much their findings they share, lest Chinese institutions get a hold of them, which seems responsible. And AI researcher Paul Rodiger, who wrote in a thread on how new uncensored AI models could generate harmful content and if asked. So again, looking for some kind of guardrails, but he's obviously a D-cell.
Now, some of the meme making is clearly a joke, or at least engineered to go viral. I mean, it's a well-worn strategy among the very online. Be polarizing, grab eyeballs, then hope the movement's deeper principles seep into the public consciousness. Memes can shape our reality.
Okay, so how did people like Martin Scorelli now make it into this circle?
Yeah, right. Well, okay, Madison Campbell, founder of the rape kit startup Lita Health, was previously dating Scorelli while he was discovering the movement. She said that they were attracted to EAC for its aggressively pro-AI stance, but she has since said that the group is clouding the message with memes and trash-talking to each other, which also kind of feels like something Scorelli would be into.
So Campbell, she believes that AI optimists, they need a voice on Capitol Hill, someone to fight against the regulators impeding the AI development. And so she doesn't see how the movement, though, that's led by an anonymous meme account can actually do that.
However, a more buttoned-up organization isn't necessarily what the EAC founders want. The co-founders have written about how EAC should be leaderless so that the movement's more resilient to outside attacks. When Scorelli called for a popular anonymous Twitter account to reveal its identity, Jezos argued that being anonymous actually lets people be known for his ideas, not their credentials.
For the AGI House SF member, Pandey, he was the one that threw this original event. He's actually organizing another conference in later October where there's going to be three floors of content. So he really sees this growing, and he's definitely investing in it.
And then there's Pico Paco, an anonymous online account, which is higher ambitions for EAC's future. Achieve a world of infinite abundance and colonize the stars, he wrote.
Okay, well, there you have it. It's definitely getting weird now, but so you guys got to stay safe out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like EAC, it's not the weirdest thing we've heard of. This is 2023. True. We've heard a lot of weird things. So I don't know. I'm not surprised about all of this kind of bubbling up, so to speak. But
yeah,
until next time, I guess we'll wrap things up now. So for Michael Sacca, I'm Mike Belsito, and this is RocketShip.fm.